Well, there's so much in today's readings that this is, I think, the third version of the sermon I prepared for you this morning, because there are so many different strands. But I want to focus on Jesus' words when he declared in the synagogue at Nazareth that he was anointed to bring good news to the poor. I want to spend a few moments thinking about what those words might mean for us. The Isaiah passage that he read refers to release for captives, recovery of sight, and freedom from oppression. And of course, for many people, these words have a very practical ring. Release from captivity has been much in the news this week, with pictures just last night of Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners being reunited with their families. And oppression of different kinds is a reality for many, many people in our world today, as indeed it was for the Jewish people at the time of Jesus. But I think we cannot sideline this incredible message by saying it's just for others who are worse off than we are. For we too suffer from bondage and blindness in other ways. This bondage and blindness can lead us to a sense of hopelessness or despair, either in relation to our own lives or indeed in relation to the world, where bad news rather than good news seems to dominate. I believe that the words of Jesus and of our other readings have relevance for us all. So let's look at them now. The reading from the Old Testament is from the book of Nehemiah, and of course you've all read that from beginning to end. Nehemiah's ministry, his vision, was to rebuild the spirit and religious observance of the people of Israel, based on God's laws after their destruction. But as we read the whole book, we realize that the community built by Nehemiah, great achievement, was for the Israelites. Outsiders were to be excluded, and that's made very explicit as the book comes to an end. But in our gospel reading, Jesus challenges any exclusive concern with God's chosen people, and that wasn't popular. His message, his ministry, are represented as inclusive, not exclusive. And that's underlined in the next verses that we hear after the passage I read, where Jesus elaborates using examples from the Old Testament, showing how many of the prophets were sent beyond the people of Israel. Then we have the epistle reading, where Paul writes to the early Christians about their relationships with each other. A famous passage, a familiar passage, about the body of Christ. There are three distinct aspects here. First, through the Spirit, all are welcomed in, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free. The body of Christ is an inclusive community. Secondly, diversity is emphasized and celebrated. Equality clearly doesn't mean sameness. And thirdly, we are interdependent. And this interdependence is something, I think, that we can sometimes forget. Not many years ago, I was at a meeting in Church House here in Chichester Diocese in company of a number of senior clerics, mainly rural deans. And the diocesan secretary was explaining that staff at Church House give parishes good value for money. saying that in face of rising parish costs, parish shares, many are critical of what they see as bureaucracy at the centre, which can be costly. Surely the real work is done at the coalface by the clergy and the people. Now, we may have some sympathy with that argument when we're asked for our parish share, and it's an argument familiar to anyone working in education, social care, or the health service. Cut central services, not frontline workers, we say. And sometimes there may be truth in that. But one of the rural deans said something that really surprised me. And because it surprised me, it's remained with me. He suggested that for us to deny our need of each other is a sin. And the proper repentance to sin is forgiveness, is repentance. Wow, that was quite a big thought when we were discussing the parish share. It made me think. And I've come to the conclusion that he had a point. It's fatally easy, isn't it, especially in today's individualistic society, to forget how much we rely on each other. The teacher may be the one teaching your child, but behind him or her there are many people paying the wages, keeping the system going. And you've only got to work for a while in a country without an infrastructure to realise how chaotic things can be. Large, complex systems are networks of people who are interdependent. We know that, but sometimes we forget to value each other. And I think we rarely see it as a spiritual issue. Different strands then. What can we make of all this? Jesus tells his hearers, then and now, that he comes to bring good news to the poor. And that's us, whether or not we're poor in material terms. For we all suffer, don't we? From a lack of vision, we're all imprisoned in different ways. So what is it that we need to see or hear based on what we've learnt from our readings and particularly from Paul's powerful description of the body of Christ? Firstly, I think, it's very easy to fail to hear or see the insights of those from whom we differ. It can be helpful when faced with an opposing view to ask what truth our opponent is fighting to save. This past week was the week of prayer for Christian unity, and one writer sees the tensions at the heart of all Christian denominations as being between those who safeguard tradition or fellowship within, on the one hand, and those on the other, who promote accessibility from outside, those who protect the ones within, and those who look for accessibility. It's a tension. It's not that one's right, one's wrong, but we see it not just within the church, but at our national level. And it's very easy in our own lives to surround ourselves with those who are like-minded at the expense of being open to the perspectives of others. So, sight to the blind, what we fail to see and value. Jesus also proclaimed release for those in captivity, and the things we need to be released from are many. Perhaps we feel alone, or that we don't matter, that our small efforts are worthless in face of bigger events. And I think it's very easy, particularly in small church communities, to feel downhearted. But Paul suggests that all of us matter. Perhaps it's a sense of responsibility that binds us, a feeling that it's all down to us, or that we have to do everything alone. Again, Paul's description of the body of Christ challenges this idea. We are all perhaps captive to certain fears, certain feelings, which are not helpful. But the biggest question, I think, is perhaps not what we need to be freed from, but what we need to be free for. And this is possibly where we're going to be challenged to review our visions, our priorities. Such challenge comes from being given sight, from listening to others, but also from listening to God and trying to get a sense of his priorities, which are not always our own. Nehemiah's vision, his work, were important for his time, but eventually his focus on the people of Israel was broken open, was widened. And that happens in our own lives too. And then we need humility to identify ways in which we need to change our perspective. So Jesus came to bring good news, not only for his own time, for his own people, but for all times and for all people. It was not just about material and physical sight and release from bondage, but it was relevant for us too, as we strive to be his body in the world, as we strive to build community. Let's end with words from Nehemiah. Here, that reading ended by saying, "May the joy of the Lord be our strength as we move forward together in one body, in his name, letting his spirit work within us as it was at work within our Lord." Amen.